Welcome, everybody, to Marin Covenant Church again. We are rounding the corner in our Blueprint for Discipleship series, which is basically giving you an inside peek of when we talk about discipleship here at the church, we're talking about these three big movements. The very first movement, for those of you paying attention, is? You didn't know I was going to call on you. Is? Identity. Thanks, Shelley, on staff. You get a raise. Perfect. So the very first thing we think about this idea of discipleship is our identity. It's all rooted in who we are, that we are dearly beloved children of the most perfect Heavenly Father. Everything about who we are, how we live, what we do is rooted in that thing. It's not earning God's favor. It's not feeling bad that God's going to get mad at us and blow us up. We are dearly beloved children of a perfect Heavenly Father. And there's work that we need to do, all sorts of things that the formation opportunities that we do so that we understand that identity in the very core of our being. All right, so after identity, the second is?
Formation.
Oh, okay, we're warming up here. All right, the middle one is formation, right? So when you think about discipleship, it's not just doing, doing, doing. We start with our identity, and then we move to formation, which you recognize once we know who we are. Our time and energy is not spent in trying to do the right thing. Our time and energy is spent being connected to Jesus, right? He is the vine, we're the branches. If we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit. And then that's where all of our spiritual disciplines come. Those are like things like prayer and worship and fasting and solitude, right? Those are all things that we do to make sure that we're connected to Jesus so that we are actually molded and shaped into the image of Christ. And what ends up happening, most of the time we think, gosh, if we can even just get that far, we are like in the top 2% of all Christians. We've survived. We know who we are in Christ. We're being shaped to be more and more like him. But what we want to make sure is that is actually just the precursor for the main event, for what God actually wants for us, which is the third piece in this movement of discipleship, which is
calling,
right? This idea of calling, which means that God actually has an individual purpose and plan. You are uniquely wired and crafted. Even your wacky family of origin was part of God's plan for redemption and wholeness and healing to be used in a very specific way, in a very specific context, using your very specific gifts. And so when we think of, I want to be a good Christian, I go and do these things, that's not the thing. I'm a dearly beloved child of a perfect Heavenly Father, and I'm going to be spending time with Jesus so I can know him, be molded and shaped by him, and then I'm going to be led to be the person he wants me to be wherever he's called me to be. That is it. That's a discipleship. That's how we're trying to live out our discipleship. Our discipleship cohort spends an entire year doing that. We have a 3-hour seminar coming up in June to talk all about that. And this morning, we get worksheets. Are you pumped? Yeah, I can tell. I know. I'm trying to get better. I hope you've seen the evolution of my worksheets over the years. I'm working hard on this. Well, what I want you to do before we jump to these worksheets, I want you to imagine. So last time we did worksheets, we talked about formation and this place to find where we, a specific time and place where we go and we hear from God. Right? Some of you, it's the end of your day and you're lying in bed and that's your time of solitude and prayer. Some of you have a very specific chair with a cup of coffee that you pulled off there. Some of you, on your way to work, you drive and that's your spot. Well, I want you to go. So what I need you to do is put on your imagination caps. I need you to go to that spot. Okay, so close your eyes and imagine that spot where you go on the regular basis to hear from God, to pray, to talk with God, and to listen to God. Okay. Now, as you are in that spot, and if you're driving, your eyes are kind of open, but everyone else, right, our eyes are closed, and imagine if God showed up to you like this, that the word of the Lord came to you and it said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Alas, the sovereign Lord said, I said to the sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak, or I'm too young. But then God again said to me, do not say I am too young, for you must go to everyone I send you to say whatever I command you, and do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. All right, then you open your eyes. Would that be wild? Can you imagine if God actually just showed up in your car on your way to work, in your little, while you have your pajamas on, your cup of coffee, and you're just praying, you're talking, and God says to you, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as blank. Now, these words were spoken to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived around 650 BC. He lived in Judah, and this is the end of Judah. So we'll talk about all summer. We're going to talk about all the prophets, which will be great. So you'll have this history down. But basically, this was the end of the Judean Empire. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been, basically eviscerated, and now the two last tribes in Judah were there, and the Babylonians are going to start to come in and end up taking them into exile. And Jeremiah is there for it. He's there for the end of this era of the Jewish history. And that's his calling for 40 years. God appointed him as a prophet. From the time he was like probably 17, God showed him and said, "This is what I have for you." Now, my conviction is I feel like that word to Jeremiah is actually a word to every single human being. Every single human being is made in the image of God. Every single human being, God longs for them to understand who they are and to submit their entire life to him and to use all their gifts and all their talents and all their unique placements to be used by God for the expansion of his kingdom. Now, very few of us have actually had God show up in the middle of our car or in our middle of our quiet time and said, "This is what I have for you to do." But what I have found talking to numerous Christians over my whole career is that God does use a process of slow revelation, of using the body of Christ, of using friends, of using family, of using situations, of using circumstances, of using sandpaper, of using challenging situations and people to help us discern who it is that we are and what God has called us to do. And so this morning, we're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so walking through a little bit of a process so that you can have some hooks, so that you can keep doing some deeper reflection. So hopefully you will come to have confidence and to recognize not only are you a dearly beloved child of a heavenly Father, not only do you want to stay connected to God so you are more loving, more joyful, more patient, but that you actually are a unique contributor to the kingdom of God. And in fact, we desperately need you to do just that. Okay, so we're going to look at one more passage of scripture and then we're going to get to work on our worksheet. So what Paul says in Romans, he kind of gives a bigger picture of this in chapter 12. He says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. So basically saying, listen, you are God's dearly beloved children. Some people think too little of themselves. Some people think too highly of themselves. And God's just basically saying, listen, you need to have the correct view of yourself. You need to have the whole view of yourself. And you need to be in this process where you're submitting yourself to God and to the people of God so you have a good sense of who it is that God has made you to be. For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these many members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these many members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I put my intonation on the wrong syllable. That happens all the time. Okay, I love this passage of scripture because this, I think, is the best news ever. That each of us are parts of the body of Christ. Which does not mean, like I grew up thinking I need to be like Christ, which meant we all need to be in this vanilla shape of a kind, soft-hearted, effeminate guy with long hair and a nice sash and to just like walk around wispily. That's kind of how I imagine. We all need to be that. But that's not the case. We all are unique parts of the body of Christ. We've all been given different gifts, different talents, and we all need each other. And we're not just like a machine where you just take one piece out and put another piece. It says that we are a body. We belong to each other. And so before we even go into this understanding of calling, we need to understand we belong to each other. Like if we as a church, and God has uniquely brought this grouping of people to be Marin Covenant Church in this era, and if we're going to be the most healthy expression of Marin Covenant Church in this era, every single one of us needs to figure out that unique thing that God has called us to do and to put it into play and to activate it, whether it's within the church, whether it's in our community, or whether it's in the big bad world. For us to be the healthy body of Christ, we need to do just that. And so what we need to do, since very few of us have had God show up in a bright light, we have to begin the process of discernment, the process of thinking through, God, what are the unique spiritual gifts that you've given me? What are the unique strengths that you've given me? What are the things that make my heart alive? What are the things that break my heart? And begin putting those things on a piece of paper so they can kind of come together and form a sense of calling. And so we're going to take a stab at that this morning. So this is where you're going to take your handy dandy worksheet that I've been working really hard to make beautiful just for you. And we're going to begin this little process, okay? So, and I tried to make it as simple as possible. So what we're going to do is this is your opportunity to think about your life. And this first part is discovery. How has God uniquely made you? And so what I'd like you to do is let's start with spiritual gifts. There's a number of places in the Bible where they list out spiritual gifts. And you can, what's wild is every place in the Bible, they're listed differently. So it's not like these are the spiritual gifts. We've talked about this before. You are actually the spiritual gift. All of your unique gifts and talents and spiritual gifts all together make you the actual gift that needs to be activated for the kingdom of God. But if you take all those lists, you get a good sense of what it kind of means to have a spiritual gift. And so what I'd like you to do is take 30 seconds to go down that line on the spiritual gifts and check off or circle any of those that you resonate with that go, gosh, this might be a spiritual gift I have. Or you go, I know for sure this is a spiritual gift I have. All right, what I'd love for you to do is just yell out one or two that resonate with you. Encouragement. Leadership. Giving. Evangelism. Discernment. Yes.
Intercession.
Service.
Faith.
Yeah. You know, it was wild. I was speaking in a men's retreat last weekend, and we did a version of this. And I asked my son, and if you've met my son, you know, he's a special kid, right? I love him. But he said, he goes, mercy. I'm like, what? I can't believe that my son has the gift of mercy. And I actually asked him, like, do you even know what mercy means? And he's like, yeah, like, I can forgive people. Like, I do not hold grudges. Like, when anything happens over my whole, like, I've realized I can extend mercy. Like, it's not hard. He's not like, I'm trying to be a good Christian. He extends mercy. And I felt embarrassed that I'm like, I didn't even know that about my son. And that was all inspired. Like, whoa, people have the gift. Like, I have to work hard for mercy, but it's a gift, right? So these things are spiritual gifts. These are all things that we should be doing as Christians. But some of us have like this spiritual superpower. It's just the air we breathe. We're like, I cannot wait. God's just blessed me with all these resources. And I just cannot wait to give them away. God has blessed me with this discernment. And so when I walk into a room, I know exactly what God's doing in this place. God all of a sudden wakes me up in the middle of the night and says, you need to be praying for this person. I'm going to be praying for this person, right? So those are some of the spiritual gifts. Now, there's other ways to think about. There's also different gifts and abilities that we have. There's this beautiful tool called Strength Finders. I love it. It's basically, these are the 33 strengths. There's probably more of them, but this is, again, it's another tool. But you go, these are the things that God has given me as strengths. And what I love about this tool the most is they go, hey, here's the five things that are like your superpowers. Like, you just crush these things. And they go, here are five things that you're never going to get there, basically, right? Like, good luck with these things. And the best part is when you realize, instead of spending all your time and energy going, these are the five things I'm horrible at, you just say, God, give me people in my life that'll help me with those things, because I want to spend my time and energy doubling down on the things that I crush at. So again, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I want you to write down a couple of the check marks or circle some of these strengths that stand out to you. To woo, yeah, win other people over. Woo. Like Johnny has that one in spades. Yeah, you do. Okay, and also, whoever's like super strength is responsibility, praise God for you. I'm so sorry, that's a tough one. Okay, all right. Let's just yell out again, what are some of the strengths that you like, gosh, that word resonates with me, I crush that. Woo, yeah, Zoe, yeah, what else?
Developer.
The what?
Developer.
Developer, I love that. Achiever.
Activator.
Let's go, Scotty. What else?
Leadership.
Yeah, I can't even hear. But yeah, right? It was so funny, you're all saying different things. That's the whole thing. We all have different spiritual gifts. We all have different strengths. And then this is the best part. What breaks your heart? All of them. Now, hopefully as good Christian people, they would all break your heart. But there's certain things that you're more attentive to. There's certain things that God has put in your way that you're like, gosh, I always seem to find myself with these people. These are the people I want to give my time and my energy and my resources to. And so just to, again, take another few moments and pick out a couple of those that go, of all these, this is really it, God. This is what breaks my heart. And if it's not on that list, well, then just write it in because it's a worksheet. Like, right? So this is just an example. So write down the thing. I'll give you another 30 seconds. Now, because I don't really want us to shout all over each other, I'm genuinely fascinated to know what are sort of the things that break our heart collectively as a church. And so if you just kind of raise your hand or make eye contact, I'll point at you and then just say it really out loud so we can all hear it together. What are some of those things, Patrick?
Addiction.
What?
Addiction.
Addiction. Yeah. Zoe. Human trafficking. Human trafficking. Yeah. What else? Yep.
Self-neglect.
I'm sorry, what?
Self-neglect.
Self-neglect. Yeah. Diane.
Abortion.
Yeah. Abortion. The unborn. Scotty.
Atheist.
Yeah. What else? Jenny.
Loneliness.
People in loneliness. Same thing, Ed? Yeah. Who's not that? Jennifer. What?
Mental health.
Yeah, mental health. What else?
Racial injustice.
Racial injustice, yeah. Yep, Carol.
Families,
yeah. Yep.
Hunger.
Yep.
Spiritually lost.
The spiritually lost, yeah. Yep.
Greed.
Yeah, greed. You know what's wild is, oh, sorry, one more. Yep.
Homelessness.
Yeah, thanks, Tammy. Homelessness. Were you going to say something, Maria? No, like, don't look at me. Okay, sorry. Okay, what I love is, right, those are just the few people that said something, and it was like this total array of heavy-hearted, broken things that God genuinely wants his people to impact the world about. And if we all wanted one thing, then all these other things wouldn't get done. And so this idea of calling is going, oh my goodness, God is actually not only wants you to do it, he actually needs you to do it. Like, he's actually inviting you to be part of the solution, to be part of his redemptive plan in that area. And so what we want to do is, we want to, instead of just like wandering through life kind of like passively or just bouncing from here to there, we want to come and go, this is God, this is who you've made me to be. And so once we realize that, once we know that this is what God's made me to be, then all of a sudden we have boldness. When those situations show up, you know, you're like, oh God, you've put it on my heart about homelessness. What does that mean? All of a sudden, you're going to see homelessness in a whole different way. You're going to make sure you know people a different way. Every time you drive by, somebody at Target, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm not just going to stop and like pray for them. Maybe God wants me to interact with them. There's services in Marin that need me, and I get to be a person that gets to be used and expand the kingdom of God in that place. And so a couple other tools that I think are helpful to discern this are, these are some questions for you to think about. So when you lose track of time because you're really fully engaged in what you're doing, like, what is that? I read that poorly. But what is that thing when you just lose track of time? Like, you just can do this thing and you never get tired. Like, you have to pay attention to those things because that's uniquely about how God made you, and you should probably be finding yourself doing more of those things. The things that invigorate you and that give you life is like a little nod that, yeah, God is... that's what he wants you to do. Jesus came to give life to the full. We are supposed to suffer along with Christ, but not in our calling, not doing the thing he's called us to do. What do people constantly come to you for? What do they trust you with? You're like, gosh, people keep coming to me with their deepest brokenness. Like my wife, she's like, has this gift of empathy, and everybody, for whatever reason, the second they know her, they feel at peace with her and they just want to like bare their soul with her. She's like, what is that all about? And she has to do some work to be like, I can't carry everyone's burden. And so she's like, but I have this gift of people come to me. And so how she's learned over her life, how do I care for people who just bear guts to her, even after they just meet her for the first time? But you should pay attention to that. Like, oh, that's actually a spiritual gift. God needs people to show up and have empathy and to sit with people and to be in those moments with them. I love this question. When you imagine contributing something significant before you die, what does it involve? It's funny, when I was younger, I never thought about this. I feel like every old guy is always thinking about legacy and, you know, what's the world going to be like after they go. And so to be thinking about what is that sort of legacy, what will involve to contribute something bigger than yourself? So those are just questions for reflection. But what I wanted to do is this idea of building a sentence, to begin building a framework of, if you had a sense of God, what has God called you to do? God said to Jeremiah, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. Well, you are uniquely by God to do what? So if you say, God has uniquely designed me, now this is just like a little Mad Lib. So people who are not creative, all you need to do is, what if you fill in the blank? God has uniquely designed me to, so I have one of my spiritual gifts, leadership. So I put, God has uniquely designed me to lead through, I look at my strengths, I go up, strategic and includer. So God has uniquely designed me to lead through gifts, through my strengths of includer and strategy for people impacted by, and I have at-risk youth and spiritual lostness, right? So my most basic, simple question is, God has uniquely designed me to lead through strategy and inclusion for people impacted, specifically at-risk youth and people who have spiritual loneliness. Okay, so I'm gonna give you one whole minute to think about what would be your sentence. If you had to craft a sentence based on putting those pieces together, what would you write? And the people who are more eloquent and have more words, you can do whatever you want. That's why I just gave you lines, right? So you can just write your sentence and say, God has uniquely designed me to what? Okay, I'm gonna give you another minute to think about that. All right, and I'm gonna invite Wim and Shelley. They're gonna help me with some microphones because, again, as an opportunity for mutual encouragement, it'd be great to hear the unique ways in which God is bubbling this up in us. And so if you would be bold enough to raise your hand, Shelley, I guess, will come over on the side and Wim will come down the side, and you just have to read your sentence. It could be your Mad Lib sentence, or it can be something that's even longer or more eloquent, and it's a rough draft, or you're not being graded. Again, this is the process of discernment. Okay, let's hear it, Zoe.
Mine is kind of long.
Okay.
God has designed me to do the impossible through him by bringing life to others, deliver the oppressed, heal and set those in bondage, to bring light to those who walk in dark, also to edify the church, to bring good news to the poor, and to extend the same grace, love, compassion, joy, faith that he has graciously given to me.
Wow, that's so good, Zoe. Star student, and we're so glad you're part of our church. I love that, and God's so glad to be part of his kingdom. Yeah, what else? Luke.
God has uniquely designed me to see and serve those who feel overlooked.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. Who else would be willing to share? Greg, Diane, and then Greg.
God has designed me to revere life.
To revere life. Awesome. Thank you. Greg.
God has uniquely designed me to comfort and encourage those impacted by addiction.
Awesome. Thank you, Greg. Yeah, Scotty.
God has uniquely designed me to encouragement through empathy and wow for people impacted by spiritual lostness, addiction, and mental health.
Awesome. Thank you. We need someone on this side to step up over here. Oh, Parker, let's go.
Hi, I'm Jasenia, and God has uniquely designed me to have faith through empathy for people impacted by racial injustice.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, Parker.
God has uniquely designed me to encourage and intercess through woo, empathy, and communication for people impacted by spiritual lostness and animals impacted by animal testing/abuse.
I love it. Parker, star student. Good job. I love it. Thanks, you guys, very much. Again, this is just the beginning of trying to figure out what does God uniquely call me to do. If you could do the discipleship cohort, you spend 2 whole months trying to figure this stuff out. And it is such a fun process. Over the years, I, like Zoe, have like a little bit of an extra statement, but I thought I would just read it to you just so you can get to know me a little bit better. But this is, when I think of my sentence, It's that God has uniquely designed me to be a good shepherd in this unique context, meaning Marin County, and to leverage my gifts of leadership, wisdom, and encouragement to care for, protect, grow, and mature our flock for this season, but also for long after I'm gone, while taking every opportunity to run after the one. And what I found is, and which I hope this is true for you, is you spend time reflecting, going, God, what have you uniquely designed me to do? You find some affirmation, you find some joy in partnering with your Heavenly Father who has given you these gifts, who longs to do ministry alongside of you, and then to be bold in the ministry places that God has for you to do all that. So that's your ministry sentence, and then comes the hard part. So flip your little paper over, and this is where the rubber meets the road, because just to know this, just to be proud of this, just to put this on your fridge, that's just the very beginning, because the truth is God actually wants you to activate that. So then the question is, where does this actually land? Does for you to live this out, does it need to be inside the church? Does it need to be outside the church? Does it need to be at your place of work? Does it be in your place in family? Where do you not have a place for this to be worked out? Which means, God, where am I supposed to work this out? So you need to think about, where is this supposed to land? The second question for deeper reflection is, who is one person already in your life? If you actually activated your calling fully, there's actually a real life human being whose life would be impacted for the kingdom of God. So instead of just being a vague, I want to do this, it always comes down to very real human beings, flesh and blood, who are in your life. We can't love humanity. We have to actually love humans, the individuals. And so for you to write down, who is that actual individual that would be impacted? And then the last thing is, what is one specific step that you would take in these next 30 days? So again, to go, gosh, this is where that would be. This is actually who that would be. But then, will you actually do something about it? And what I would encourage you to do is just to take this little piece of paper and to fold it up, put it in your Bible, wherever you do your little quiet time, and just spend some time reflecting on that. Because at the end of the day, if the body of Christ is going to be healthy, if we're going to be activated, if us individually are going to be who God made us to be, if us corporately is going to be who God made us to be, if the church universal is going to be that, then we actually have to move from just knowing God and loving Jesus in one little lane, but being people who are wholeheartedly serving him in every lane in the unique ways that God's called us. Now, the very last box right there is, who are you going to tell about that? And this is why I love church. I mean, I love coming and doing gathered worship. I love singing and worshiping together. I love being encouraged by the word together. There is this other unique, special thing about sharing our life with one another. And we always say, get involved in small groups. You should have people in your life. And it's not because Michael gets a raise if more people are in small groups. That's not how it works. We want people in small groups because we want people who are sharing life with each other so that you can discern these things together. Like I said, very few of us have had God speak from on high and said, this is what I've called you to do. It's a process of discernment, of wrestling, of listening to God, of talking about that with other people. And we need people in our lives to do that. And in fact, this morning, I'm super blessed because one of my best friends in the whole world, Tim Ciccone, he's my doppelganger over there. We're dressed almost exactly the same this morning. But Tim and I and my friend Carlos and Nate, we've been friends for over 20 years. We're pastors from all over the country. And we did youth ministry together. We were all in youth ministry leadership, and over the time became very dear friends. And about, gosh, 10 or 12 years ago, we said, hey, we actually need each other in our lives, because doing ministry is hard and people move. And we just made this commitment to each other. I said, we are going to be committed to being each other's lives. Priority boarding. If any one of those guys calls me or texts me, it's like, okay, you're my next call. You're my next test and my next text. And every October, we make a decision to be together somewhere in the big bad world, to spend time together goofing off, but also talking and praying and sharing our lives. Because even as pastors, we need people to keep growing and discerning. And think of over 20 years. Over 20 years, we've had kids. We've had kids grow up. We've had kids have all sorts of joys and challenges. We've had marriages that have been We're all still married, praise God, but we've had ups and downs in our marriages. We've had ups and downs in our ministry lives. We've had changes in our being, changes in our calling. And every October, we get to get eyeball to eyeball, and we share our lives, and we share what God's asked us to do. And throughout the year, we check in with each other and say, gosh, how is that thing going? How is this thing going? How is that thing going? And we pray for and encourage each other. And I'm super pumped that you're here in church. I get to brag about you in person, because normally I have to just send you the link and be like, hey, I talked about you. But here you are in person. And I'm always trying to be as strong as Tim, but I won't be. We have different DNA, but that's who I want to look like one day. And so my gentle encouragement for you is to find people in your life. Because it is actually really hard to discern, I think, the Spirit of God, the calling of God, the action of God, especially when you kind of seem to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that even is that much harder. And so we need people in our lives to remind us of our identity in Christ, who are going to champion us, to remind us that we are dearly beloved children of a perfect Heavenly Father. We're in the disciplines of staying connected to the vine, and there's people in our lives who are reminding us to make sure we're praying and we're worshiping, we're reading scripture, we're staying connected to one another so that the Holy Spirit can have his way in us and through us, and that we are in community discerning together what God has actually called us to do, and they're holding us accountable to get after it. Because if we don't get after it, like, no one else is gonna do that job. You are the person that God has called to do that thing. And for the kingdom of God to advance on earth as it is in heaven is for each and every one of us to take our unique gifting and call and put that into practice. And that, I think, just fires me up. I've given my whole life so that me individually, we as a church and the big capital church would be that sort of place where the kingdom of God advances and Jesus is honored and glorified in all things. Awesome. Well, I'm going to invite the band up. Let me pray for us and over us. We'll spend our last little bit of worship together, and then we'll call it a day. Heavenly Father, our gracious God, what a gift that you see us, that you love us, that you've invited us to not just know you, but to be adopted into your family. And not just to try to follow you with rules, but to actually give us your Holy Spirit to change us and to transform us, to forgive us and to heal us and to empower us. And to not just be servants in your kingdom, but to be co-heirs in your kingdom, to be partners in the ministry of expanding your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You are such a generous God. You're such a good God. And I just pray more and more that we would be open to all that you have for us. And I pray in a supernatural way that you would speak to us like you spoke to Jeremiah, that you would help us to clarify the unique gifting and calling that you've given to us so that we can wholeheartedly serve you, because we want to honor you, we want to bless you, we want to worship you, and we long for you to be honored and glorified both now and into eternity. May all of God's kids say amen and amen. Let's stand together as we worship.